Welcome to the audio version of the Self-Esteem Book, The Ultimate Guide to Boosting the Most Underrated Ingredient for Success and Happiness, by author Dr. Joe Rubino. Dr. Joe Rubino is an internationally acclaimed personal development trainer, a life-changing success coach, and best-selling author of 9 books, 2 audio sets, and multiple articles and audio presentations on topics ranging from how to restore self-esteem and achieve business success to maximizing joy and fulfillment in life and productivity in business. As an acclaimed speaker and course leader, Dr. Joe Rubino is known for his groundbreaking work in personal and leadership development, building effective teams, enhancing listening and communication skills, life and business coaching, and optimal life planning. Please visit www.theselfesteemsystem.com for more information on how Dr. Joe Rubino can impact your life even more. Let's get started with part one.
This is Dr. Joe Rubino, and this is the Self-Esteem Book, the ultimate guide to boost the most underrated ingredient for success and happiness in life. You will complete your past, assess your present, and design your future in choice. This book is dedicated to you, the reader, and to your inherent magnificence and the magnificence within all human beings, even though we may forget this. It is further dedicated to those who have courageously declared to the world who they are and claim their power. Their example of risking and living boldly and with passion inspires us all to be our best. Section 1, Complete Your Past. Chapter 1, The Essence of Self-Esteem. Enhancing self-esteem is 80% about completing your past and 20% about designing your future. Noted psychotherapist Nathaniel Braden, PhD, defines self-esteem as the disposition to experience oneself as being competent to cope with the basic challenges of life and of being worthy of happiness. To live a life marked by competence, fulfillment, contentment, and accomplishment, you need high self-esteem. Healthy self-esteem sets a foundation for developing respect and empathy for others. It gives us the basis for accepting responsibility for our actions and for gaining satisfaction from our achievements. Those possessing healthy self-esteem are more likely to create dreams and to pursue them intentionally. By believing in their ability to accomplish these ideas, people with high self-esteem motivate and challenge themselves to grow and to risk as they fully experience life. They don't allow the inevitable challenges and criticisms to discourage them from pursuing their worthwhile goals. People with healthy self-esteem possess the ability to love themselves, a prerequisite to loving others and to being loved by them. In every way, a healthy sense of self-worth is a necessary requirement to leading an empowered life marked by positive self-direction, trust, responsibility, and accomplishment. We often see low self-esteem associated with criminal behavior, drug and alcohol addiction, poverty, violent behavior, eating disorders, educational dropouts, and low socioeconomic status. Those lacking self-esteem don't do themselves any favors, but often display aggressive, egotistical, harmful, and defensive behavior, along with a lack of empathy. Healthy self-esteem goes far beyond only possessing a good physical self-image. Too many confuse self-esteem with vanity, arrogance, or self-centeredness. In fact, such qualities typically indicate a lack of healthy self-esteem. Physically attractive people may also have self-esteem issues. Having authentic self-esteem means feeling good about who you are as a happy person of high intrinsic value and contribution, able to produce a worthwhile result in your life and in the lives of others. People possessing this quality have confidence not only in themselves, but also in their ability to influence others in a positive manner. They act decisively, and they show respect for others by taking responsibility for their actions, rather than casting blame, avoiding risk, and fearing failure. As humans, we are all magnificent by nature. We possess the ability to overcome obstacles, achieve meaningful accomplishments, honor our most important values, attain happiness, and contribute our special, unique gifts to others. In short, we can take responsibility for making our lives work optimally. Unfortunately, through the course of experiencing life's challenges, we often lose sight of these facts. From birth and continuing on throughout our lifetimes, we encounter countless experiences that can either enhance our self-esteem or erode it. The process of diminishing our self-esteem begins with a simple observation that we somehow don't measure up. We judge ourselves as different and deficient in some way. We decide that we just don't belong. From this point, our lives unfold in accordance with our expectations. These expectations directly relate to how we feel about ourselves. Either we're worthy of all of the good things that life can offer us, or we deserve the pain and suffering because we lack value. When we judge ourselves harshly, we dramatically diminish our ability to merit love and to achieve success and abundance that the world restores for those most valuable. When we base our actions upon the belief that we lack what it takes to deserve rich relationships, material wealth, and happiness, we trigger those things we fear most. As our self-esteem insidiously continues to diminish, we find ourselves incapable of directing our lives and our fortunes productively. Resignation sets in like dry rot, killing our spirits. This ensures that deeming ourselves as undeserving will viciously cycle into results consistent with this expectation, and it reinforces our sense of worthlessness. The lower our self-esteem drops, the less likely we are to act in a way that will generate positive feedback to elevate our deteriorating self-worth. For human beings, for a certain time after birth, life is good. Our parents meet every need while providing us with the love and security we come to depend upon to develop into self-assured, well-adjusted individuals. Early in life, we learn to attach a value to the identity we create for ourselves. In this book, we will explore in detail how something happens during this process of self-discovery, something between birth and adolescence, to have us begin the process of judging ourselves harshly. Whether an event occurs or someone makes a remark, somehow we decide that we do not measure up in some way. This psychological trauma, or series of traumas, can range in severity from an abusive experience to a simple misunderstanding. For some, it may involve sexual or physical abuse, or the experience of being abandoned or terrorized. It may start with a simple spanking, or be as extreme as a beating. Something happens that plants the idea that we are not worth loving. The event need not look severely traumatic to anyone else. To be damaging, it just needs to disturb the inner peace and identity of the person that's experiencing it. In any event, the result is the same. We start to compare our essential self to others and to feel badly about who we are in that comparison. This negative self-opinion begins distorting our relationship to others. Seeing ourselves as inadequate, we now respond differently to daily situations. Our results match our distorted self-image. This reinforces our feelings of unworthiness by providing us with the concrete evidence to justify them. In short, we have created a self-fulfilling prophecy. The label that we affix to describe our condition further compounds our feeling of inadequacy. Our self-esteem suffers more. So before we know it, we have built into our lives as fact that we're not good enough and that we're simply unworthy of love, abundance, and happiness. This self-judgment brings with it enormous pain. Because our inherent human nature has us instinctively seek out pleasure and avoid pain, we alter behavior in an effort to avoid further rejection. Barraging our internal conversations with constant criticisms and dire warnings, we protect ourselves from potentially painful relationships and avoid communication, interaction, and risk. We give up on our dreams and lower our expectations for fear of being hurt. We settle for less and then justify our actions to protect us from further harm. Resignation and the slow, subtle death of our spirit, with the resulting loss of vitality, inevitably result from our worsening self-opinion. Loss of self-esteem can pervasively infiltrate every aspect of life, or it can be limited to particular situations or circumstances. The latter occurs when you determine that you are inadequate in some domains but not in others. Perhaps you might feel good about who you are in business matters, but suffer a poor physical self-image, thinking that you're unattractive. Maybe you realize that you excel in sports, but you have little self-confidence socially. We all have our strengths and our weaknesses, areas where we feel confident, and others where we're lacking what it takes to fit in and do well. This limited type of diminished self-esteem, relegated to one or a few specific areas, can be much more easily managed and addressed. In contrast, all-encompassing loss of self-esteem, where we feel unworthy of happiness and not good enough to compare ourselves with others in most areas of life, is most devastating. This pervasive loss of self-esteem can become a rapidly progressing self-fulfilling prophecy. We compare ourselves to others and find countless ways that we don't measure up. As we judge ourselves to be inferior, we blame others for everything that goes wrong. We strive harder and harder for perfection, but can't shake the destructive feeling that everything that we do is inadequate. We constantly amplify our weaknesses and label ourselves as stupid, ugly, a failure, hopeless, and unlovable. Our smallest mistake or oversight gets magnified in our eyes to the point where we lose faith in our abilities to communicate, relate, and perform effectively. We fall into the trap of thinking that the entire world sees us as being pathetic as we see ourselves. We then misinterpret people's generally harmless words and actions, thinking that they're pointing out how pitiful we really are. We constantly overreact to situations and statements because everything feels like a personal attack on our inadequacies. Others then perceive us as strange and notice that our energy is off. Their reaction reinforces our fears. We damage our relationships and we alienate ourselves further. This proves us right about how we see ourselves in the first place and further sabotages and erodes our ability to connect with others. The more the self-sabotage occurs, the less able we are to interact effectively. Don't lose hope. We can reverse the downward spiral of progressively diminishing self-esteem. By identifying how we have lost confidence in ourselves, we can stop the erosion of our self-image. Doing so will allow us to focus on restoring the magnificence that is our true intrinsic nature. Restoring confidence in ourselves and in our ability to achieve happiness and fulfillment and tap into the world's abundance will soon follow. Let's start with a clear look at how we lose self-esteem. And then, more importantly, let's work to restore it and step into that magnificence that is our birthright. The path to raising self-esteem is to recognize the painful past and leave it behind, to effectively manage negative self-talk, and to deliberately design a future that is consistent with the person you have decided to be, a person you can be proud to know and love. We will expose the human mechanisms that kill our spirits as we provide a proven process for reclaiming personal power and passion for life. By providing you with the tools to reinvent who you perceive yourself to be, you will be empowered to impact others. Suffering is always optional. By claiming responsibility for your life and your magnificence, you will no longer be at the mercy of whatever obstacles cross your path. You will grow daily in the confidence that you possess the ability to impact others with newfound direction and purpose. Here's a challenge. Decide now to take on the personal development exercises that we'll be outlining in this book. You have the ability to reinvent yourself, to elevate your self-esteem, and to lead a fulfilling life. It all starts now with your decision to do so. Do not simply listen to this book from a passive perspective, like watching television. Instead, adopt an intention to apply the principles discussed and perform the exercises suggested with the knowledge that they will transform your life and restore your self-esteem. Chapter 2, The Paradigm of Perfection. To the degree that you resist who you are, the condition you are avoiding will persist and your self-esteem will suffer. Fall in love with the person that you are and manage your stuff moment by moment. Do this by managing your commitments. A paradigm is a hidden assumption that is generally held by the vast majority of the population. Like air to the bird or water to the fish, a paradigm is typically invisible to those who hold it. It usually can't be readily analyzed or distinguished. It is simply an assumption that everyone makes that is understood to be valid. It pervades a culture and invisibly influences how people think and act. For example, during the days of Christopher Columbus, a common paradigm was that the earth was flat. Sailors knew better than to venture out far to sea for fear of falling off the edge. Until Columbus came along and challenged this paradigm, it was just generally accepted that we live on a flat earth. Few questioned this quote-unquote fact until Columbus's voyage to the New World proved it faulty. It was only then that a new paradigm around the earth's shape was established, namely that the earth is round. Likewise, during the early days of colonial America, the Puritans believed that there were witches. Everyone knew this fact was so. They also knew that the way that you deal with witches was to burn them at the stake. This was an accepted practice and common knowledge. Paradigms clearly shape the beliefs of the society that holds them. Each paradigm keeps us from seeing another paradigm. In our Western culture, there exists the paradigm of perfection. During our growth and development, each of us becomes intrinsically aware of what a perfect person looks and acts like, how he or she thinks and behaves. We learn early on what is acceptable and what is different and doesn't measure up. Although physical beauty is only one aspect of perfection, many of those lacking in healthy self-esteem start the process of self-destruction by judging themselves as unattractive, too short or too tall, too fat or too thin, or somehow otherwise not measuring up to the physical and social standards set by our culture. The misconception that perfection is achievable is a setup for disappointment. In our Western civilization, the perfect man is well represented by our most popular TV and movie personalities. Those we hold in the highest esteem are handsome, intelligent, strong, and tall. They drive luxury cars. They're cultured and they exude charisma. They're educated, in control of their emotions, and they wield power. They are self-confident, really at a loss for words, and they are decisive in their actions. We all know how the good guy in a movie should look and act, just as we know how the bad guy doesn't measure up to these same standards. This paradigm of male perfection excludes. It says that if you are not white, handsome, tall, charismatic, and lack the qualities associated with the leading man, there must be something wrong with you. You don't measure up. You're not good enough to be held in the highest esteem. Similarly, young girls grow up with a clear image of what a perfect woman looks like. She must be beautiful, thin, sexy, and intelligent, with the charisma and talents to hold a place of high esteem in society. Music videos parade a succession of beautiful, fit, and talented women before our eyes, further reinforcing the notion that being attractive, thin, successful, and charismatic is the way to be. We grow up learning exactly what constitutes the ideal standard of how a boy or girl, man or woman, should be. Media and television set the backdrop from which comparisons are difficult to avoid. As we'll discuss later, the original notion that we don't measure up comes from a decision that we make early in life about ourselves, about somehow not being good enough, not worthy of love or respect, and deficient in comparison to our peers. So although the concept of unworthiness may not have originally stemmed from TV or the movies, those images of perfection serve to reinforce the already present notion of our inferiority. They provide us with a sharp contrast to what we have observed in the mirror, leading to the obvious conclusion that perfection is achievable, but just not for us. Again, physical image may be just one component of low self-esteem. The condition goes well beyond physical unattractiveness to the very core of our worthiness as a person, impacting our ability to reach goals and honor our values. Out of a desire to avoid future pain and compensate for our tarnished self-image, we often try to exert increasing control over our environment. Perfectionism grows from the desire to control others and avoid being dominated. This behavior heightens opposition to our perfectionist tendencies and further alienates us from others, reinforcing the idea that we don't belong, that we're unlovable, and we're not worthy. Another paradigm that greatly influences our opinion about a person's worth relates to what they do. We hold certain professions in much higher esteem than others. We glorify certain jobs, consider others respectable, and simply look down upon many. We typically hold our top leaders in the highest self-esteem, at least until they fall off their pedestal. Major league athletes and movie celebrities are admired and almost worshipped. They command the highest salaries. We hold physicians and particularly surgeons as those workers most worthy of admiration. Other health professionals like dentists, optometrists, podiatrists, chiropractors, and nurses take their place in the hierarchy of respected professions. Attorneys rate lower than these professions, but higher than bookkeepers, travel agents, and shopkeepers. They may be stereotyped as unscrupulous, but we assume that they make more money. Laborers are toward the bottom of the pecking order, with the less educated and the least skilled deserving the lowest salaries and the lowest status. Lowest still on the worthiness chain are the unemployed or those needing public assistance. At the very bottom rung are the homeless, alcoholics, drug addicts, criminals, and convicts. For many, the first blow to self-esteem comes with the realization that they don't fit the model of perfection. They may be fat or short, have big ears, live on the wrong side of the tracks, come from a broken home, or possess any of the thousands of other qualities that make them less desirable, not good enough, and unworthy of belonging and being loved. Many allow their perceived lack of perfection to prevent them from achieving success, wealth, and status. They resign themselves to a life of mediocrity when they realize that they do not rank high on the value list because of their skills, education, job, and social status. They lack accomplishments and misinterpret this as lacking value as a person. They equate their economic and social status with their self-worth. Although the perceived social status of one's job does not guarantee a high level of self-esteem, low self-esteem will often cause a person to not excel and to not achieve those positions that command respect. We are all familiar with athletes who turn to drugs or crime and entertainment celebrities who commit suicide. So having achieved an occupation with status does not necessarily guarantee high self-esteem. Nevertheless, how we compare ourselves to others does influence self-image. These views teach us to amplify our weaknesses while we become blind to our strengths. The lower our self-image drops, the less clearly we see ourselves. We fall into the trap of thinking that the rest of the world sees us in the same unflattering light that we see ourselves. As the cycle of self-sabotage continues, we bring out our greatest fears. Through our expectations and actions, we create the quote-unquote proof that reinforces our low opinion of our self-worth. Then we get to be right about it, and we sink into the darkness of self-pity. This scenario need not be so. Chapter 3, The Origins of Self-Doubt. Misinterpretations damage your self-esteem and run your life. Freedom comes from reinterpreting your past with compassion for your humanity and that of others. Some of us first realized that we didn't measure up when we discovered that we did not fit the paradigm of perfection. We discovered that we were the wrong color, size, shape, or appearance. Maybe we smelled or dressed funny. Perhaps we weren't cool or didn't meet with the approval of our peers. Or maybe our parents yelled at us, disciplined us, or ignored us. For many, the first awareness of not belonging likely came as a result of something that someone said or did that caused them to feel separate and different. They concluded from feeling that way that there must be something wrong with them and accepted the conclusion as a fact about who they really were. Yet that fact was not reality, but a decision built from emotional reasoning. Could two children from similar backgrounds and environments develop far different levels of self-esteem? The answer lies in each child's interpretations concerning life's events. The particular situation that precipitated negative self-talk may have appeared harmless enough to other observers. But if it represented an initial shift in the way that the child perceived himself, it may have been the beginning of diminished self-esteem. This book will provide the tools to transform those early interpretations leading to a cycle of continuing erosion of self-esteem. You can learn to analyze negative self-talk and successfully shift to viewing yourself and others in a more positive light. Your ability to elevate your self-esteem will depend upon your willingness to implement the new skills that you are about to learn and to create positive self-talk on a moment-to-moment basis for the rest of your life. Here's an exercise. In what ways do you consider yourself not good enough, less than perfect, or not worthy of love and abundance? In addition to detailing your weaknesses, list your strengths. Decide now to further develop your strengths and seek excellence instead of perfection, realizing that perfection is unattainable. Chapter 4, Transform Your Self-Talk from Negative to Positive. Remember that only you can diminish your self-esteem and only you can restore it. Freedom comes from non-attachment to whatever another says or does. The key to reversing the process of self-doubt lies in creating empowering interpretations about what others say or do rather than interpretations that berate us and fuel feelings of inadequacy. Become skilled at distinguishing facts from interpretations. We too often confuse what was actually said or done with the personal meaning that we attribute to these occurrences. Those who suffer low self-esteem share a greater tendency to tack negative meanings onto life's events. The significance that they place on these situations has negative personal connotations, even though none were intended or originally existed. These damaging interpretations immediately trigger anger, sadness, or fear. These emotions rapidly become familiar and induce a false sense of security. Although we hate feeling angry, sad, or afraid, we continually create explanations of events that land us in these moods. Later in this book, we will explain how our human machinery takes full advantage of the power of these strong emotions to keep our low self-image in place. We continually collapse facts with interpretations. The stronger the emotions become, the greater our tendency to attribute incorrect connotations to situations. The more we do so, the further our self-esteem erodes. The good news is that anyone can learn new behavior of attaching positive or neutral meaning to those things that are said or done, replacing the typical negative implications. The first step requires developing the ability to distinguish facts from the interpretations we attribute to these facts. This is especially useful during times of stress and upset, when the emotions of anger, sadness, or fear are present. Like red flags, these emotions warn us that we are confusing facts with interpretations, triggering the negative self-talk that eats away at our self-esteem. Let's examine this destructive self-talk in detail. Picture your negative self-talk as a cynical character that clings to your shoulder that we'll call Chip. It's important to distinguish Chip's disparaging voice as an entity separate from and outside of yourself. Chip can be male or female and will often take on the persona or qualities of a disapproving parent or an early detractor. It is important to distinguish between Chip's pessimistic counsel and the wise guidance of your intuition and your conscience. The former is skeptical and fear-based, while the latter reflects wisdom and inner insights. Your intuition is never wrong. It is the knowing inner light that guides you through life's turbulent seas. In contrast, Chip may be single-minded but not very valuable in championing your excellence or making you feel good about yourself. His job is to keep you unimportant and protected from risk, or on the treadmill, forever trying to do better and become worthy. He does this best by whispering nonsense into your ear that causes you to feel bad about who you are. This results in two common scenarios. The first is that you sell out your needs and your dreams, you avoid new situations, and you shrink away from your true magnificence. The second has you driven to achieve and prove Chip wrong about how unworthy you really are. Maybe you recognize having played out both these scenarios during different parts of your life. Let's examine the first situation. Chip likes when you become a victim, and this makes his job easier. Victims don't belong. People don't like them, and they don't look good. Victims also don't risk outside their comfort zones or aspire to any great and dangerous accomplishments. They live in a world marked by resignation, a world that excludes them as not good enough to play. Chip can have you mistakenly believe that it's safer to hide out, quit trying, and give up than it is to reach for the stars or go for the gold. He'll have you believing that it's actually better to play it safe, avoid risk, and circumvent failure. He's quick to point out all the reasons why you should feel badly about who you are. He prefers that you believe his put-downs so that you will not think yourself worthy enough to try new ventures and to find success or freedom. If you don't try, you can't fail, and Chip will have protected you from any unpleasant possibilities. He knows that by listening to his guidance, you will mangle your relationships and sabotage your success. He considers both unnecessarily risky, and like an overprotective master, prefers you to stay home and hide under the bed rather than risk to lead the hunt. He'd rather that you get angry at yourself for being a loser than risk a far worse fate by overstepping your abilities. Chip is also the master of guilt. By reminding you of all the times that you messed up, how poorly you measure up, he constantly reinforces how lowly you are. The best that you can do is to recognize his misguided intention to either protect you from harm or to motivate you to do better, and then to put on emotional earplugs so that you don't hear his sabotaging messages. Recognize his voice when he speaks his belittling opinions and know that you need not listen to what he says. His imprudent, distrustful advice puts you down, ruins your relationships, and promotes upset. The most effective way to temporarily silence Chip is to forcefully tell him to shut up and take a hike. You need to be as forceful in silencing his cynical chatter as he is in continually dishing it out. Your ability to discern between Chip's dominant, disparaging voice and the softer, wise counsel of your inner intuition will support your self-esteem to prosper. Here's an exercise. Learn to expose and counteract Chip's mischief. For the next week, as you go about your day, notice each time that Chip puts you down, makes you wrong, or keeps you small. Discern and record each negative thought that you have about yourself and immediately state a positive correction in writing. Clearly differentiate Chip's voice from the voice of your trusted intuition and challenge his false messages. Note how each cynical thought serves some negative purpose. Perhaps it makes you feel superior about something, allows you to dominate others, or protects you from risk. Maybe it drives you to succeed, to berate yourself with guilt, or pity, or to avoid seizing responsibility for your magnificence. Half the battle in silencing Chip is to recognize when he is speaking to you and specifically reinforce the realization that his counsel is nonsense.
Thanks for listening. This concludes this part of the Self-Esteem book. Please continue with part 2.